Conservative? You bet. Controversial? Right again. It's time to squabble on the Jim Benson Show.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Jim Benson Show, conservative talk radio covering the issues that concern you here on the BBS radio network. With the supposed victory of communist-admiring U.S. Senator Raphael Warnock in last week's runoff election in Georgia, midterm elections have officially ended. If you believe the official certified results, the midterms were also a resounding victory for our supposed president, Joe Biden, his establishment, communist Democrat, and rhino Republican supporters, the Communist Chinese Party, CCP, and their allies among the top echelons of our government and society, including among our national intelligence agencies. If you're like me, you see this as another coup by those controlling our elections, who vigorously oppose President Trump and his MAGA or Make America Great Again supporters. This is the same cabal who threw the 2020 election, removing Donald Trump as a rightfully elected president and installing their puppet, the venal criminal and CCP-compromised Joe Biden in the White House. This, in turn, unleashed their Marxist revolution on America that continues to this day. There's a lot of post-election finger-pointing going on among Republicans, with arguments that the Republican establishment didn't do enough for Trump-supported candidates, particularly for the U.S. Senate seats up for election. But I, and I believe quite a few others, see a much bigger problem that is the real cause of the MAGA candidate losses. I'd say it's true that the Republican establishment isn't in love with Trump, but I think they did provide a minimum of, at least, of support. Maybe it's not as much they could have. But the problem is, we're going to detail shortly. And this problem is one that not many people seem to want to talk about. What I'm going to lay out here is what I believe to be the truth. It's the most frightening and disturbing situation for our country I've ever seen. And yet many Americans are totally unaware of it. And that is that a cabal of foreign and domestic actors, as I referred to above, is in control of our elections and manipulating votes to get election wins for the political left in America. Wins they would not be able to get other than through these criminal acts. Do I have absolute irrefutable proof of what I believe to be the case here? No. But there is abundant evidence to support my views, which I will provide as best I can within the time constraints of our short program today. Our republic is well along a path to being lost forever, and we are being prepared to be eventually enslaved by the CCP and its incredibly powerful, dangerous, and, yes, evil allies within our own society and government. I believe our elections are being controlled through the use of a powerful CIA-developed supercomputer and program, or derivative thereof, designed to monitor and interfere in foreign elections. The computer system is known as the Hammer, and the program is called Scorecard. Election integrity warrior Mike Lindell related recently that the left-wing mainstream media so-called news organization Reuters is preparing a hit piece on Hammer and Scorecard to debunk any idea of its legitimacy to the American public. We'll have to see what they come up with. I don't understand all the details, but there is a lawsuit, as I understand it, that Lindell is involved with, which was brought in Nevada, which could potentially expose the truth about exactly what Hammer and Scorecard is and does, and who has been employing it in our elections. But as I understand it, a judge in that case has imposed a gag order on participants, ostensibly on national security grounds, from disclosing the information about the matter. This includes the developer of Scorecard, a brilliant computer programmer named Dennis Montgomery. You'll hear more about him shortly on our program. You can find more about about this man on his website, DennisMontgomery.com. DennisMontgomery.com. If I understand it correctly, what Hammer and Scorecard do is remotely monitor vote counts submitted by local election officials then switch votes from candidates the operators oppose to candidates they support. In America, this means that in the 2020 election, millions of votes cast for Trump were flipped to Biden. In the 2022 midterms, votes were flipped, especially in the U.S. Senate races, from Trump-endorsed MAGA candidates to CCP and U.S. establishment-supported Democrats and RINOs, you know, Republicans in name only, to ensure another victory, especially in the Senate, for the communist left in America, now allied with many fabulously rich and powerful Wall Street and other financial and business elites with their enormous investments and cash flows from communist China. This computerized election fraud is apparently something which, while many suspect is the truth, they are afraid to discuss or even bring it up out of fear of retribution. This could include financial and reputational ruin and even their and their family's physical safety. All you have to do to see the case for this is to look at what's been happening to lawyers for President Trump who have brought legal actions challenging the rampant and well-organized fraud in the 2020 election. Among the most prominent of these is former New York City mayor and federal prosecutor Rudy Giuliani. Giuliani is being viciously attacked by establishment operatives seeking his disbarment in New York and Washington, D.C., along with other efforts to besmirch and destroy him. I'm no expert, but I can't see anything Giuliani has done wrong in this regard. But he dared to challenge the 2020 election results, which have been a subject of virulent censorship among the establishment media, as you well know if you're following what's going on with the revelations in Twitter. As you can see, the CCP has powerful allies in the USA who will stop at nothing to protect their money flowing from the rigged CCP-controlled Chinese economy. It's an economy where a philosophy of growth at any cost has led to environmental devastation and great suffering among the Chinese people, which is apparently of no concern to the irrational hypocrites here in America who fabulously enrich themselves and their families among our supposed elites. I call them hypocrites because many of these people tout their supposed concern for environmental issues here in the USA, but say nothing about what's been going on in China. Returning to discussion of our midterm elections, you'll shortly hear from retired Air Force Lieutenant General and political commentator Thomas, I say McInerney. I've heard him pronounce his name. Some people say McInerney. I say Thomas McInerney. McInerney, who's been following our elections and claims to have inside information about the cyber warfare involved, has said the CCP utilized hammer and scorecard with widespread cyber attacks in the 2022 elections. And I believe he also alleges the 2020 elections. This, along with massive mail-in ballot fraud employing manipulation of fraudulently swollen voter registration rolls, ensured Biden's electoral win in 2020 and Democrat Senate wins in 2022, and perhaps some in the House as well, along with local races, as you know if you've been following what's been going on in Arizona, local and state, I should say. Starting off with our sound files today, let's hear some audio from former Trump advisor and now radio and talk show host Steve Bannon's War Room program on the Real America Voice Network. This is from an interview with General McInerney just before the 2020 election, in which McInerney warned of what was coming. Now, I played an interview with McInerney more recently, and I'll also play one after this with another group, interviewer, but this is from just before the 2020 election. Keep that in mind. Please play soundbite one.
General McInerney, thank you for joining us on War and Pandemic. You've got some breaking news we got to talk about. It's one of the reasons we have Sidney Powell over here today. Something very disturbing. There's been a site called the American Report. It's got a woman named Mary Fanning's done some incredible reporting, particularly about a guy named Dennis Montgomery. What is it, this thing that's going around about this project or this system called Hammer? Explain to our audience what this is and why it should be of such concern to people in this current situation that we're in.
Yes, I will, Steve. The fact is that Hammer is what we call a SIGINT, a signals intelligence program that the NSA came up with years ago. The CIA picked it up under the Obama administration, and I broke it in April and March of 2017 about what they were doing on the Russian hoax. But the fact is, the Obama administration took this system and they put in an application in this SIGINT program called Scorecard. And Scorecard changes votes at a certain point in the voting stream. And if I can, and by the way, the Obama administration used it in the 2012 election in Florida. And so both Obama and Biden are very familiar with this. Now, I've got to make a quote
here. Yeah.
And it's important that we all understand it. It's by Joseph Stalin. I consider it completely unimportant who in the party will vote or how. But what is extraordinarily important is this: who will count the votes? Now, Steve, we have a desperate Democratic Party that will do anything to bring the country to a totalitarian state and as far left as they want. They used it in the primaries, and Bernie lost to Biden because they used it in the primaries. So it is ready to go. I just found out about this yesterday. Sydney has played a very important role in assisting me and Mary Fanning and Alan Jones and trying to get the word out so the American people know all this enthusiasm you're talking about in Pennsylvania gets changed very quickly with this software program that switches 3% of the votes.
Hang on for a second. General McInerney, I want you to give just quickly your bona fides. Talk just briefly. Give me a minute for the audience on your career.
Okay, 35 years in the Air Force. I ended up the number three man in the Air Force in the headquarters. I had four tours in Vietnam. I commanded the raid on Tripoli in 1986. We attacked Tripoli from my headquarters in England. I was then the vice commander-in-chief of U.S. Air Force of Europe, and then the commander of Alaskan Command and Alaska NORAD region. So I had a very extensive operational career, and I'm in the cloud business now, and that's why I'm so intimately familiar with what Hammer and Scorecard can do, and nobody knows it.
Okay, now, also, you're one of the most revered officers in the U.S. Air Force, an unbelievable career. I want to go to Hammer. Hammer was the single most important and the single most sophisticated, basically, system that came up after 9/11 for really intelligence or counterintelligence about radical Islamic jihad and the ability to monitor that. Is that how the beginning of this started? It was a foreign surveillance system that allowed the national security and intelligence apparatus to watch our enemies. Is that how this thing started?
That's how it started, Steve. Very sophisticated, very, very capable. And the fact it was then adopted with the software packages like on your iPhone to the voting business. And it was to be used, and it was used in foreign countries. And so it was then moved over into the CIA, and they started looking at U.S. citizens. That is illegal. The CIA cannot look at U.S. citizens, and only the FBI with the proper FISA warrants, etc. Sydney knows all about this. You know all about this. And it is extremely important that this was taken out of the CIA when the Obama administration left. They used some kabuki to get it out. They still have it up and running. We know where it is located. We know it's active tonight. It's active. They've been looking at a whole host of things, as has the DNC, using false IPs. And they are looking around, and they are trying to set up this voting thing that happens on Tuesday night. It's going to look good for President Trump, but they're going to change. And that's the danger that America and everybody must realize.
I just want to mention, we got about 2 minutes here. In the next segment, Sydney and I are going to drill down on this a little bit more, and we're going to talk about some polling other things, but hopefully get you back before the end. Dennis Montgomery, The last time the audience heard about Dennis Montgomery, he was being rounded up at his house. He had 47 hard drives, I think, he had taken from Fort Meade. How does Dennis Montgomery fit into this story?
He's a genius, and he loves America. Dennis invented him. Dennis invented Scorecard. He's the programmer that made all this happen, and he's on our side. And at great personal risk, as well as he hasn't benefited financially from it. He is an absolute genius. And so he's extremely important to what's going on. It would have happened in 2016, Steve, except something happened to it that night when the Obama crowd and the Democrats tried to use it. I can't talk about that.
Dennis Montgomery is like the character Nash in Beautiful Mind. I mean, this is one of the smartest programmers ever. He wrote this incredibly sophisticated program. And that's why this event in August of 2015, when he was basically gathered up and he had the 47 hard drives. Heck, we got one hard drive from Hunter, and we're still going through information. He did this, as we now know, he did this to essentially save his country and expose what's going on. What was he trying to expose, and what should the American people know today on the eve of this election that 250 flag officers sent a letter to President Trump said it's the most important, including my old boss, Tom Hayward, who said it's the most important election in the history of the Republic. What is Montgomery trying to tell us? What is the message we need to hear today?
Well, he's telling us right now, Steve, that we are on the verge of being compromised through cyber warfare, of which he is a master of, the most brilliant person in our country on cyber warfare, and they have used this. They moved it from the intelligence, a very highly secure program, and they've moved it from there over to political treachery. And that's what it is. When they moved it out of the CIA, they moved it for their political use, as they have politicized the intelligence community, as we saw in the Russian hoax, and what they've done to General Flynn. All these things are in this force that you and Sidney have been talking about that want to change America from what it is. It goes back to the Electoral College, to the Supreme Court. All these things are bundled to change America from being a democratic republic to a totalitarian regime. That means a socialist country, which the next step is communism. And that's why there can be no agreement between this Democratic Party and the Republican Party. One choice is freedom, one choice is communism. It's that simple.
We all know what happened with the 2020 election. If what General McKinerney said is correct, and he's implicating Obama, Biden, and U.S. intelligence agency personnel in this, you can see why there are efforts to disparage information about it and silence discussion of it. Since the people involved in the U.S. would likely be committing treason, and those involved in China would be committing an act of war. Here's more audio from General McKinerney, this time commentating on the 2022 midterm elections. It's from an interview with McKinerney on the Two Mics podcast series on Freedom First Network. This one on November 17th, 2022. It's titled, All But Florida is Lost. Here McKinerney refers to massive ballot fraud as write-in ballots, I think. That is, I believe, illegal ballots stuffed into the vote totals to back up electronic swings in vote totals and thus sway elections. Please play soundbite two.
General McInerney, welcome back. Haven't had you on for a week. We said, let the dust settle. Let's see what's happening. The steel went down. Give us whatever you can give us that you can give us without saying too much. How's that?
That's good. Okay. Well, first of all, I want to give everybody a feel of what happened to the red wave, the tidal wave that didn't even turn out to be the tide. But it was very, very cleverly handled by the Democrats. First of all, if it would have been a legitimate election without the use of massive write-in ballots, many which are corrupt, and cyber, it would have looked like a tidal wave. And let's go into some of the specifics that I want to talk about. Dr. Oz, as I've mentioned before, had 330,000 votes stolen from him using cyber. That amounts to 660,000 votes that are moved, yet he caved like a cheap suit. I do not know why, and I'm very disappointed. He ought to be demanding, as I've said before, an audit. An audit will disclose and discover where you've had cyber cheating or massive ballot write-ins. This particular election was led by the massive ballot write-ins of illegals and made-up ballots that were not legal. But until they audit them and do it properly, you're not going to find that out. So let's take a look at some of the others. Well, I want to discuss Florida first. They didn't touch Florida at all. And I think their rationale was they want to make Ron DeSantis look like a hero. And then they can parse off the blame for their excuses that they want to have on Trump and say it was partially Trump's problem. But that's wrong. And so we've got to understand that. When you listen to the pundits now, they're talking about abortion and Trump being the problem, in addition to the radical ideologies that the some of the people that were discussing fraudulent balloting. And by discussing this, they're trying to demonize the individual. So that's why everybody is very reluctant to want to criticize the process and the legal nature of the voting in each state. And I'll get into that in a little more depth because I want to talk about Arizona. But so what they have given us the impression is by using massive write-in ballots as well as cyber, and cyber was very cleverly used this time, and not nearly as massive as it was in 2020, but they only had one person that they went after. There they had a whole host of different people, candidates, and they had to be very careful how they did it. But I want to take the governors first. I think that we won in New York with Lee Zeldin. I think we clearly know we won in DeSantis because they didn't touch that. They want to make him look like a superhero right now. I think Tudor Dixon won in Michigan, but Whitmer had two big data dumps, just like Carrie Lake had in Arizona just before, in which they piled on. And those are the ones they need to audit. Those are the ones that really need to have a good look at, because I believe they're fraudulent. And I believe in both cases that Carrie Lake and Tudor Dixon would win, Tudor being in Michigan and Carrie Lake in Arizona. Now, Carrie has not conceded, which I am absolutely delighted, even though there are a lot of Republicans that have conceded in Arizona. We have a problem, gents. We have a problem because our leadership does not understand the problem they're facing. Does anybody think that with the surrender in Afghanistan, massive border immigrants coming across the border, open borders, massive inflation, the highest gas prices in history, the lawlessness in the states, teaching the critical race theory, all these things have made President O'Biden, as I call him, the most unsuccessful president in the history of our nation. Yet, we didn't blow them out in the midterms. And why? Well, I just explained it to you. Because the Democrats in those states were committing fraudulent acts to include cyber warfare as well as the massive ballot write-ins. We have to get rid of those write-in ballots. And and that is tinting all the discussions right now. We need new Republican leadership. Clearly, in my opinion, Rona McDaniel, Kevin McCarthy, and McConnell have to go, but they're not going. That's our problem. They are not standing up for the candidates that they had. They're blaming some of the quality on the candidates and the other factors that I discussed. So I think there were three more states, New York, Michigan, and Arizona, that we would have won with governorships if we do audits on the ballots, but they're not. I know that Dr. Oz won, but he conceded.
I wanted to point out that when we ran a previous interview with General McInerney on this program, maybe the last one or the one before that, talking about the midterms, I think it was on with Emerald Robinson on her program, The Absolute Truth, on Mike Lindell's website. I distinctly remember General McInerney asserting that Communist China was involved in these cyber attacks, but I don't think he's been mentioning that here. The mainstream media has criticized McInerney's assertions, stating that he offers his claims without proof. They are correct. General McInerney states that true forensic audits of elections would reveal this cyber warfare. That's probably why efforts to do these true forensic election audits have thus far been so desperately but successfully fought against. This is amazing to me, but the companies who manufacture and or use computerized voting equipment and software and participate in running our elections, along with almost all Democrat and Republican, or should I say Rhino, election officials, have been vigorously and vehemently opposing these audits and refusing to allow inspection of their computerized equipment. Doesn't that make you suspicious? Yet they have been all but completely successful in these efforts. The only state thus far where a real forensic audit of election results was performed, and that's incomplete because the people in the elections process have still refused to turn over things or deleted their database before they turned it over. And I'm talking about Arizona, of course. And even there, investigators, as I said, have been unable to forensically examine voting equipment or inspect the electronic 2020 election database, which was deleted the day before it was ordered by a court to be handed over to the auditors. There have been zero prosecutions of anyone involved in large-scale election fraud in Arizona that I know of, despite investigations finding these investigators in the audit finding huge numbers of paper ballots being of suspicious or outright illegal origin. I was just today looking at an election integrity warrior and a person involved, Javon Hutton Pulitzer, who was involved in the audit in Arizona, and he's stating that there were at least 165,000 ballots cast in 2020 there, which are blatantly illegal. That's what he found. In other words, they're invalid. But I have to believe that outgoing Arizona Attorney General Mark Brnovich, a Republican, or should I say a rhino, another rhino, recently joined in the criticizing of the state's suspicious 2022 election. But since Brnovich has done nothing substantial to find and prosecute the bad actors in the 2020 election, I have to think his comments are all for show. He's on his way out anyway. And if the election stands as it's been certified, a leftist Democrat will be replacing him. I can imagine General McInerney and his colleagues have a need for secrecy in this situation, and their lives are probably in danger as well. But without definitive proof of this alleged massive cyber election fraud, how can the American people demand anything in the way of correcting our election disasters and the threat to our survival as a nation? Here's more commentary on the midterms by election integrity warrior Mike Lindell. This is from his The Lindell Report TV show and podcast, December 7th, on his website, frankspeech.com. Play soundbite 3, please.
A little bit, I'm going to tease what we're going to do in the second part of the show tonight. We're going to talk about election crimes. Okay, everybody, we're going to talk about election crime. And we're going to talk about where our country's going to be if we don't get rid of these computers. And we have the whole second half of this show. We're going to go back in time, and we're going to just kind of do a little timeline here. And we're going to tie in the RNC, what they haven't done, and kind of like what this tweet does that came out on Twitter. It says, did anyone else catch where 64% of the votes were in and Walker was ahead by 50,000 votes? And then a second later, it switched to 67% in and Warnock was ahead by 27,000 votes. In an instant, that's a 77,000 vote shift. Well, everybody with our cyber guys, remember, we're watching in real time. I just got off the phone to check the number. The total was 118,000 votes. Now, a lot of them were complete, flips. So you're probably a couple hundred thousand votes that, Brandon, do you know what the end totals were?
No, but I'll find out.
If you can find out. So if you put 200,000 votes onto Walker, I believe, I'm sure that he probably won, but we'll get the real totals right now from Brandon. And then everybody, I want to add on to that. We're going to talk about the second half of the show, but and then the next person is talking about the RNC and stuff. Well, Herschel Walker, it says 149 million was spent on Herschel Walker and 248 million on Warnock. Now, it says here, this guy, but this is once again a failure of the GOP leadership. Another winnable race without the resources to get over the finish line. So
98,000. Warnock won by 98,000. Georgia Secretary of State officials said 1.3 million voters cast ballots on Election Day, and overall turnout surpassed 3.4 million, topping expectations. Nearly 4 million Georgians voted in the November 8th general election.
Well, my guess is that's probably not true. I can't imagine what they pulled from the voter rolls. But we know that there's at least 200,000 votes minimum that Walker had that was taken away or flipped. So that would put him as the winner by over 100,000 votes. That's fact, everybody. This isn't maybe people should start seeing it now going, how do we keep losing? When everything says, the polls say, everything says, you win, and you lose. Well, here's what's happening. And right now is, think of the RNC. Well, you got the RNC. By the way, if you're just tuning in, I'm running for chairman of the RNC, and I plan on winning. I've been calling every one of the 168 voters, the people that voted, three from every state and territory. So you have three. It's not a public vote, everybody. But I know people have been calling in with all kinds of support. We're ahead in every single poll out there. If it was a people vote, I've gotten, Brandon, you see the polls out there. I've been 60% favorite, where Ron is coming in at 1%, if that.
Wow. So wow.
That's pretty amazing. Every poll. Did you do a push, please?
Renee doesn't know.
Oh, did she do it, though? Could you please call and ask her? But I want to tell everybody, so imagine this. Let's just look at the Walker race. So the RNC, they left Arizona. They left Kerry Lake and all of us sitting there, Mark Fincham, everybody sitting there to fend for themselves with what they knew, all the machines that didn't work on the election day, all of the stuff that happened in Arizona. Two counties wouldn't certify. Then they had to because they had threats, death threats. Yes, death threats. They had threats. Either you certify or else. And one of them certified under and said, I'm doing this under duress. I can't take the threats for my family. This is pretty sad. What does our country come from when you can strong arm people and say, do this or else? This is mafia. This is cartel stuff. I mean, this is, you go do this or else. So and they were scared, so they didn't. So they certified. But now I will tell everybody: the RNC comes down to Arizona and says, "Hey, we want to help out. We'll hire the lawyers." Wow, someone else paying for lawyers other than us? That would be a neat thing, other than the citizens, which, by the way, the citizens in this country, like myself, have over 50 lawsuits going on to try to save our country, to get the laws changed back to where they were, which are laws that were broken in the 2020 election, to get rid of machines, to get to paper ballots hand counted. Yeah, there's over 50 of them, Brandon, all over the place. Okay, all over the country. And but here comes the RNC down to Arizona, and they offer money to four attorneys to get to the bottom. As soon as they heard that the relief was going to be, hey, if we win this in court, we want a new election. As soon as they heard that, no. We want no part of that. We're going to run over to Georgia, and we're going to raise more money from our donors. We're going to raise a lot of money from our donors and get Herschel Walker across the finish line. Well, A, it looks to me like you didn't raise enough because the donors don't want to give anymore because they don't get results. And B, even if it didn't matter how much you raise when it's selected by a machine. If everybody can't see that in this country, we're going to lose our country.
Given the fact that a vast majority of the judiciary, right on up to a majority of the justices on our Supreme Court, including the three Trump nominees, turned their backs on those who brought legal actions to challenge the results of the 2020 election, it's surprising to me to see that people like Lindell still have faith in our judiciary and hope that it will help us this time challenging election fraud in the 2022 elections. You are likely familiar with the outrageous election chicanery, some of which Lindell was just speaking about there, that occurred in Arizona's midterm elections this year. Trump-endorsed Arizona gubernatorial candidate Kari Lake has filed a lawsuit seeking to overturn the election win of her opponent, radical leftist billionaire George Soros-backed Democrat Katie Hobbs. Hobbs, as Arizona Secretary of State, refused to recuse herself from overseeing and certifying her own election as governor, refused to debate Lake, and did little, if any, campaigning that I'm aware of. There was reportedly only 17% turnout by Democrats in Arizona in the midterms, yet Hobbs won the governor's election with more than 50% of the vote. Lake's lawsuit details a great deal of wrongdoing in the election, including the, I say intentional, widespread breakdown of electronic voting, vote tabulating equipment at some 60% of Maricopa County's polling places on election day, thus disenfranchising many thousands of Arizonans from casting their votes, Maricopa County being the fourth largest metropolitan area in the country. But what difference will it make if our judiciary again shuns such legitimate appeals for at least a serious look at what really happened on election day? There is also talk of a recall movement being launched against Hobbs. But again, what difference will that make? She'll beat the recall with the same people in charge of Arizona's elections. Likewise, Joe Biden is preparing to run for a second term as our president. He's already won, unless our fraudulent elections can be fixed. There is one possible bright spot in this disastrous midterm elections, which was the Republican wins that assured their retaking control of the U.S. House of Representatives. And their promises to launch meaningful investigations into a number of pressing issues, not the least of which is the sickening corruption involving the Biden family. I would like to think the Republicans retaking the House was not something that was allowed and just for show to make us think we have free and fair elections. With Democrat and Rhino control of the Senate, all but assuring negation of any meaningful actions by Republicans in the House, including impeachment of Joe Biden, which should definitely happen, what realistically can the Republicans in the House accomplish? And with those manipulating our elections becoming better and better at it, even if the House elections in 2022 were for real, in the next elections, the communist Democrats will likely regain control there as well. Lastly today, let's take a closer look at some of the appalling corruption that Joe Biden and his family have been involved in. Here's a short audio capture from a video and audio montage put together by, I think it's Steve Bannon on his War Room program, showing the mainstream media lackeys attempting to cover up the Hunter Biden laptop story I think it was before the, or right around the 2020 election, and portray it as Russian disinformation, along with smearing anyone claiming that the information on the laptop is legitimate. A rebroadcast of it on the internet was titled, "Remember the Lies." Play soundbite four, please.
Biden secret emails.
A really fishy story.
The Post claimed that the emails were found on a laptop computer that was brought to a repair shop in Delaware in the spring of 2019.
The FBI is now investigating whether those alleged Hunter Biden emails are actually connected to a larger foreign intelligence operation.
They may be related to a foreign intelligence operation.
Foreign intelligence operation.
Foreign intelligence.
Foreign intelligence.
Foreign intelligence operation.
For all we know, these emails are made up.
The information found on the laptop may be part of a Russian disinformation campaign.
Part of a Russian disinformation effort.
Described by many intelligence experts as having hallmarks.
All the hallmarks, rather.
All the hallmarks of a Russian.
Or Russian disinformation.
Russian disinformation.
Disinformation campaign.
This is a classic example of the right-wing media.
50 former national intelligence folks who said that what this he's accusing me of is a Russian plan. They have said that this is has all the character. Five former heads of the CIA, both parties, say what he's saying is a bunch of garbage.
This is classic Trump. We have 4 days left, and all of a sudden there's a laptop. There's overwhelming evidence that from the intelligence community that the Russians are engaged.
I still think that the stories from the fall about your son Hunter were Russian disinformation and a smear campaign, like you said.
Yes, yes, yes. I know you'd ask it. I have no response. It's another smear campaign.
It's the last ditch effort in this desperate campaign to smear me and my family.
A last-ditch effort to smear him and his family. And here's Rudy Giuliani in one of his latest Rudy's Common Sense podcasts, this one on December 8th, detailing some of the corruption revealed on Joe Biden's drug addict son Hunter's abandoned laptop computer. Please soundbite five, please.
This is Rudy Giuliani with Rudy's Common Sense. Today's show is a very important one, because in many ways, many Americans can't get to hear this because it's being censored. It's being censored by big tech, big media, big Democrats. You don't get it on NBC, ABC, CBS, MSNBC, CNN. You know the whole group of, I don't know what to call them. They're not journalists. It's getting closer than not even being Americans. This is the kind of censorship that used to happen in the Soviet Union before it was liberated by Ronald Reagan. This is the kind of censorship that goes on now in China, and this is the kind of censorship I never thought could happen in the United States of America, and it should never happen again, and there's only one way to make sure it doesn't happen again, and that is to defeat their purpose and defeat their unworthy candidate, Joe Biden. I am going to explain to you the most critical crimes that emerge from the hard drive of Hunter Biden's and from the witnesses, all of whom, or most of whom, you can see on my podcast, some going back, oh my goodness, 8 months ago, and some as recently as the other day. But let me summarize it for you, because it is a little bit hard to follow. But I think if we look at it as a RICO case, racketeer influence corrupt organization case, which is a case about the business of crime, you'll get it. And we'll just have to deal with about five of these incidents. The first one, that is the one that probably know the most about, is Ukraine. What happened in the Ukraine that was a crime? Very simple. Joe Biden was bribed by Mykola Zloshevsky, the head of a company called Burisma. And Burisma is an oil and gas company. The owner was one of the biggest crooks in Ukraine, one of the biggest members of organized crime, and probably a murderer. So I want to get you an idea right at the very beginning who the Bidens deal with. You're going to see a fair number of murderers, organized criminals, and spies. So Mykola Zloshevsky had a company called Burisma. His company was built crookedly when he was the Minister of Ecology. He gave his company all of the best mineral rights in Ukraine. And when he came out, he was worth $8, $10 billion. When the government looked like it was going to fall, he stole $5 billion, left the country, was an exile, and lived in fear that the new president, Poroshenko, was going to take it from him. He soon found out that the new president was as big a crook, if not worse, than the old president, and that he could be reached. And he also soon found out that the most powerful man in Ukraine was Joe Biden when he was appointed point man by Obama, because he controlled all the money that was going to go to Ukraine. And Ukraine had $800,000 in the bank when their prior leader left with people like Zloshevsky. So Zloshevsky, knowing what the press keeps from you, that Joe Biden had a history as a sleazy Delaware politician and had been taking illegal money with his brother for 20 years, he set up contact with Joe and he offered him a deal. The deal was roughly something that would amount to about $14 to $15 million. Most of it would be paid through a no-show job for his son, Hunter Biden. Now, he never would have hired Hunter Biden for any other reason, because Hunter Biden was totally unqualified. He had already bankrupted a company, and he had just been thrown out of the United States Navy for failing a cocaine test. So he was virtually unemployable, except to a Ukrainian gangster. And his father, despite the fact that his son suffered from addiction, had him work for the most crooked man in Ukraine. A sure prescription for that drug addiction to get worse. And who's responsible for that? Well, I guess Hunter is to some extent, but the father put him in a position that no decent father would ever do. For that reason alone, not only wouldn't I vote for him, but if I saw him, I'd spit in his face. You don't do this to your children just because you're so darn greedy to get money. Well, that's what he did. He used him as a bag man. He never showed up in Ukraine. He never did anything meaningful, but he got paid $166,000 per month for a total of about $5 or $6 million paid that way. He got a laundered $3 million additional monies altogether. The Biden family got about $14 million in bribes. And then Biden did his job. When the prosecutor, Shokin, was about to move on the company, he had already arrested them. He was about to seize their assets. He came in, and as he explains in his own words, in a confession that is as tight as you can get, he explains, I told Poroshenko, you got to get rid of the prosecutor or you don't get your $1 billion loan guarantee, which was critical to the survival of that country. That is also bribery, offering a thing of value in exchange for official action. Zloshevsky offered him $14 million in order to get the case fixed. That's thing of value in exchange for action. He did the same. He offered Poroshenko his $1 billion loan guarantee in exchange for firing the prosecutor. Two bribery cases becomes one RICO predicate. Count one in the indictment. Penalty, minimum 15 years in jail. Loss of public office forever. Second one, Iraq. Joe is appointed point man in Iraq. Every time he gets appointed point man, two things happen. Joe fails for the United States, and Joe's family gets millions. Pretty good circumstantial evidence that they're a bunch of thieves. So Joe becomes point man for Iraq, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, comes James Biden, the crooked lobbyist for 20 years, the guy who was making thousands with Joe, not millions, thousands with Joe, doing crooked lobbying. And he becomes a partner in a $1.5 billion housing program in Iraq, and he doesn't know diddly squat about housing. Kind of like Hunter didn't know anything about oil and gas. The Bidens actually know nothing about anything, except they'll do anything for money. You know, Joe was the dumbest man in the Senate. He didn't know much about being in the Senate. But it was a good way for the family to become millionaires, because that's what he devoted his time to. Now we go to Russia. Russia, collusion with Russia. Remember that? Collusion with Russia for Donald Trump turns out to be zero. Not true. My goodness, the Democrats colluded with Russia. How? The wife of the mayor of Moscow, or I should say the widow of the mayor of Moscow, makes a $3.5 million payment to the same Hunter Biden who can't do anything. Why'd she pay it to him? She is one of the richest women in Russia. She's one of the most dangerous women in Russia. She helped to have her husband deposed to please Putin. She's this tight with Putin. Everybody's complaining that Trump is too friendly with Putin. He's not. He's been tougher on Russia than any American president. And these phony hypocrites are doing this, and they're making money with Putin. They're not just friends with him. They're making money with him. Now we go to the big place. Now we go to China. We got two deals in China. One occurs when he's vice president. Shocking that we don't know about this. Intolerable, and it requires an investigation of Obama and the Obama administration. Obama makes him point man for China. Remember? Point man? America gets screwed. He fails. And the Biden family gets millions. Millions! And you never find out about it. Because Obama and the suck-up press keep it from you. Because, in the words of Joe Biden, you don't deserve to know. You're just a bunch of stupid citizens. You're not an elitist like Obama or like Hillary Clinton or like Joe Biden. In China, Joe Biden takes Air Force Two, and on your money, on your dime, he flies his son to Beijing. He's going there to save America, to get the Chinese out of the islands that they dispute with Japan, and to get them to lower their tariffs. Hunter's going there. This is in between drug rehabs. He's going there. We don't know why. I'm never told. Except the documents tell the story and the hard drive tells the story now. Joe goes there. He fails. Of course he fails. Always fails. Or did he fail on purpose this time? He fails to get them out of the islands. They put more military in the islands. He fails to get tariffs reduced. They increase tariffs. 8 days later, though, the family succeeds in the only thing they're really interested in, money. A $1 billion commitment to a private equity fund that the SEC should have put out of business the day it started. A private equity fund that was a joke. It was idiotic. It stunk. Here were the partners. Hunter Biden, son of the vice president. Chris Hines, stepson of the Secretary of State. China got 2 for 1. $1 billion's still a lot, though. But they also got, you will not believe this, they also got the nephew of Whitey Bulger, one of the biggest organized criminals in the U.S. So now we have him dealing with, we got the drug addict dealing with, based on his father's advice, who doesn't really give a damn about him, except as a bad man, we got him dealing with the Chinese communist and the nephew of an American organized criminal. This is great surroundings for a guy who's got an addictive personality and has a significant problem with drugs. And if you look at his pictures, my God, it looks like the guy's on crack every other day. So China puts in $1 billion. A couple months later, China puts in another $500 million. Joe loses all negotiations with China. There's an article written that China much prefers to deal with Joe Biden and John Kerry than Hillary Clinton because they're much easier on. But the New York Times doesn't write that their sons are in a private equity fund that got $1.5 billion commitment from China. Do you think you should have known that? You think it's a crime to cover that up? You think Obama knew? I don't know. You think it's worthy of investigation? Joe would never do anything wrong. Finally, the last one. The one that is probably the most brazen and the one that's really a true espionage operation on the part of the Chinese government. They got Joe pretty good. They got him lined up pretty good. They're into the family for about 30 or 40 million at this point, China. But he might be president. China's intelligence operation, of course, is superb. And they got this guy, but no reason not to really jam him really hard and to improve on all the terrible photographs they have in their library on his son and other members of his family doing things that would be shocking to the conscience and illegal. So they utilize one of their major intelligence operatives, one of the highest members of the Communist Party, and a man considered to be one of the richest men in China, according to a tape-recorded conversation where you can hear Hunter Biden's voice proudly saying he's doing business with the richest man in China, Xi Jinping. Xi Jinping's number two guy is a gentleman named Patrick Ho. You can hear Hunter Biden describe on tape Patrick Ho as a Chinese spy master. And my partner, we get the tape at the time that the business has fallen apart. But here's what the business was and is. The business is a partnership, American partners, Chinese communist partners. The American partners are Joe Biden, James Biden, Hunter Biden, Sarah Biden, that's the sister-in-law, Gilliers, and the gentleman who has become a whistleblower, Mr. Borodinsky. Okay, what's the deal, as Joe would say? The deal is $10 million a year to the Americans paid by Xi Jinping and his company, CEFC, which is a Chinese energy company and also considered to be a front for Chinese intelligence. And he specializes in putting people in sham businesses where he can compromise them. Ha! He succeeded really good here. He didn't just compromise them. He destroyed them, particularly since Hunter was taping everything and not knowing that he was keeping it on his hard drive. So you can listen to the crime if you want to listen to Hunter Biden. Nobody in our media wants to do that. They don't want you to know it. They'd rather have a major criminal in the White House than Donald Trump.
Despite all the bad news about our stolen elections, there has been some good news lately, namely from, of all places, Brazil. As you may know, conservative Brazilian President Jair Bolsonaro recently lost re-election to the communist-supported criminal Lula da Silva, who was the predecessor to Bolsonaro as president of Brazil. Commentator Dr. Steve Turley and others have stated that political matters in Brazil are largely controlled by that nation's Supreme Court, almost all of whose members were appointed by Lula or his allies. It was the Brazilian Supreme Court which recently let Lula out of prison, declaring that there was bias in his trial for corruption and allowed him to run for president, where he narrowly won against Bolsonaro. As Mike Lindell has explained, in Brazil, they use only electronic voting machines and there are no paper ballots used, which potentially could be examined to back up results from the machines. Since the elections, millions of Brazilians have been protesting in dozens of cities across the nation, calling for an international investigation into election fraud. Lindell states his team has determined that some 20 million votes for Bolsonaro were flipped to Lula. I saw an interview with a Brazilian legislator who stated that under the Brazilian constitution, the military has the right to intervene where there has been illegality to restore the rule of law. There has been much speculation that the Brazilian military is indeed preparing to declare martial law and investigate the recent presidential election. This could lead to a true inspection, finally, of electronic voting equipment and its known vulnerabilities. I'll be watching closely to see what develops in Brazil. That's the end of another show. As always, we hope you found our content of interest and value. You can listen to a podcast of today's show when it's posted soon on the Jim Benson Show pages at bbsradio.com. Look for us again 2 weeks from now in this same time slot. Have a good rest of your day and evening.